have as heaven came down and glory fill our souls, and we will be in good shape. Remember all those on our prayer requests again tonight, lifting them up. Brother Jerry wasn't feeling just his utmost best, so remember him this evening and sis. Sister Aggie, Callie Goins, Lynetta, Sister Jean, Jason, Sister Arnold's family. Any others you want to call by name this evening? Remember that.
But they don't.
And that's amen. Go right ahead.
We got up this morning. Of course, we just came back from a big crowd of people. And we got up this morning. Sam wasn't doing very good. And so she teaches ladies' Sunday school class in a small Sunday school room. And she said, "I feel like I'm afraid to go teach those ladies." And I said, "Well, maybe you better go be tested for COVID. And since I'm living in the house with you, I better go be tested too." Mm-hmm. So we went to a little walk-in clinic, and we went up to the room, up to the counter there, and the lady said, "We asked her if we get the quick check," and she said, "We don't do the quick checks here." And it had 2 days to find out anything. And I said, "Well, I'd like to get the check too." And she said, "Do you have any symptoms?" And I said, "No, I don't have any symptoms, but I live in the house with her." And she said, "Well, we don't test anybody if I don't have any symptoms." And so, anyway, we just sat down and we went back into the office, back there where the doctor come in. The doctor come in a little bit, and she told him, and I told him, and I said, she said, "We're trying to get to go to church." And he said, "Well, I'll just give you a quick check then." and I said, "What about me?" And he said, "You going to go to church with her?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'll just give you the quick check too." So they give us both the quick check, and they come back in a few minutes, and about 15 minutes, he said, "You're both negative, you're going to church."
Amen.
God's good.
Amen. All the time. Yes. What man won't, God will, right? And God can change the minds of men. So, anybody else?
Remember Zach
and Mariah. Zach and Mariah. Mariah goes back to work tomorrow. See, the way things are planned anyways. Lynetta, she's still on heavy lifting duty. Remember her? Me and Mariah are still on lightweight duty. So all day long, Lynetta does all the heavy lifting until Zach gets home. And so, remember that. All right, stand with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Remember one another in your prayers for sure. Brother Philip, will you open us tonight in prayer?
Amen. Go ahead and grab your red book. We're going to go to page 298. Page 298.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day.
flip the page to 300. Turn to page 307. Page 307.
Preach.
have any specials this evening?
Never sang that song before?
Nope.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Have the king is coming in the black book or something?
Thank you.
else?
Anybody with a testimony? Well, I'll say I'm glad to be here tonight, and I'm glad I feel better than I did. And I got a little ways to go. I picked up the bass to see what it weighed, and I don't know what it weighs, but it weighs too much, and so I put it back down. But I know that God's got it all worked out, and in His time and in His way, we'll get back to being able to at least distort the bass. That's the way I call it. I don't play it, but I do like to try to participate on it on Sunday nights if we can in that. But I'm thankful tonight that I have the ability and the strength to stand for God. And you know, that's the key point that we should be focusing on in all of our lives, is the ability to stand for God. We get so hurried up sometimes that we see so many things that we fail to see God. And we heard a good message this afternoon, and I'm not going to preach that message by any means, but while the preacher was preaching, it made me think of this thought here in the book of Exodus. So if you got your Bibles, go to Exodus chapter 14. And if you would, stand with us and we'll read one verse of Scripture, and then we will go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the message. Exodus 14, verse 13, one that we all know and probably have heard and been preached on many times, but anyways, we'll read it tonight with the thought the Lord gave us. It said, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Father, tonight I thank You, Lord. I praise You, and I just ask You, dear God, to help us, Father, this evening, do that which You'd have us to do and be that which You'd have us to be. Give us, Father, the thoughts and the words that You'd have us to say tonight, nothing more, nothing less, that we may glorify Your name. And we'll thank You, Father, and praise You, Father, in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. I mean to ask you tonight, how many of us at some point in time have thought we'd come up against that, which I guess you could say was greater or stronger or mightier than we were, and we just absolutely didn't know what to do, and we become frantic in our thoughts and begin to try to figure it out. Or we try to settle it out. Or we try to figure a way around it, a maneuver, some way, somehow, that we could get through or get past or escape whatever it might be, the situation that was at hand. And we were so busy trying to do something ourselves that we failed to see that God had a plan. God had a plan. And so, you know, tonight I'm going to just preach this. Stand still. Stand still. When you find yourself at the cliff's end, you find yourself maybe on the last rung of the ladder, so to say, stand still. God's got a plan. You know, and I believe that with all of my heart. It said, "And Moses said to the people, Fear ye not." That's the hard words to understand tonight when nothing we see or nothing we understand. I guess we could say this, what we see we don't understand, and what we see we fear, and what we think we see because of what we're seeing is the end. It's the doom. It's the over with. It's not going to be any better from here on out. We would all have said this, I have finally reached as far as I'm going. It's done. It might be our quit point. It might be our surrender point. It might be our defeated point. We don't know. I say that I don't know where it might be in your life that you've run into this at some point in time. But I like what Moses said to the people. They were not very far from Egypt. They were already on their first test. And by the way, your first test is the test you usually fail until you realize God's the help. A lot of Christian people start off real fast. You ever thought about that? Get saved. I mean, they're starting off. They're going down the road. They are fighting it. They're just beating door, wind, however you want to do it. And then all of a sudden comes that first test. That first test. Why does God tell you and I who are spiritually strong to strengthen them that are weak? Why does the Bible tell us that we should lead them and guide them in the things of righteousness and holiness? Why does the Bible tell us that we need to read the Word of God? Lynetta had a picture she's working on, and she said today, she was showing it to me, and she goes, I'm not going to put the same verse that I did, but I'm going to put this other one. And I can't quote it all tonight, but the basics of it is that our weapons are not carnal, but are spiritual, pulling down strongholds. God can do what I cannot do. God will do what I cannot do if I will let God do it. See, I come up with something the other night, and I have put on several pounds since we started our diet because I started eating what I want, when I want, as much as I want, how I want, and the results were not what I want. You ever thought about that? Spiritually speaking? People get defeated one time. People get set back one time. And they'll start doing what they want, when they want, how they want, wherever they want, and the results are not what they want. But it's because they forget God. They don't stand still in the midst of whatever circumstance or it is that they stand still long enough that they can find out that God is right there. But they've got to stand still and see what God is going to do. How God can do this. How God can get them through these things. How it is that God was right there from the beginning. And this is it, that I've preached this several times. See, when they left Egypt, they knew there was time to leave Egypt because God had sent the plagues and the plagues had done the work. And Pharaoh's heart was finally tortured, we'd say, tormented to the point he said, get out of here. And so they left. And when they left, we know this, God was with them by what? A cloud by day. So where was God as they were on this journey, by the way? He was in the forefront. How do you know that? Because the cloud led them. They followed the cloud. And then a fire by night. Where was the fire? It was in front of them so that they could see. You know, we've all said this, run towards the light, right? Follow the light. They were following after the light. They were going the direction that needed to be gone. They were following God. And just as soon as they run up to an obstacle, they could not figure out, their hearts began to get defeated. They started stressing, straining, and worrying. Why? Because they looked backwards. I ask you a question. Had they just kept looking forwards, do you think they would have said, Lord, show us how to get across this? Get us across. Lord, you led us to this point, get us across. Instead of looking and saying, God, there's an answer here. I know that you have it. You've led me this far. They looked backwards. When they looked backwards, they saw the enemy. The funny thing is as they sit there and they toiled over all of this stuff about what was going on, we can't go forwards, there's the Red Sea, can't go backwards, there's Egypt. What stayed between them and the Egyptians so that the Egyptians could not get to them? A fire. What was the fire? It was God. Do you understand? The Bible says that God is our forward and our rearward. God is before us and He's behind us. But it also says that God is on each side of us. He's right there in the midst. He's not leaving them. God was leading them by night. He was protecting them. He was leading them on the journey. He was protecting their backside and their side sides so that no man could come there. And when they got to the Red Sea, they stopped looking forward, started looking backwards, and started worrying. What was Moses' answer? Think about it. Moses said unto the people after everything we know about, right? Fear ye not. Well, Brother Ernie, it's kind of hard not to fear. The enemy's pressing down. How long had Pharaoh been back there, by the way? How close had he gotten? He hadn't touched one hair on one head the whole time. And even now, while they're stopped, He's stopped. You can't get through God, church, and get to God's folks unless God allows it. And by the way, He will try us. The Bible says the trial of our faith is more precious than that of gold. But anyways, as long as I'm getting at, is this, that God was saying, you're not going any farther than this. But He wanted the people to look this way, to look towards God, to face God. Moses says, fear not, stand still. I'll tell you, how many of you think that those Egyptians, or not Egyptians, but those Israelites were standing still? But how many of us, you know, frantic, the enemy's coming, searching for what we're going to hide behind or who we're going to hide behind, get to the best soldiers. I don't know what they was going through there. But they were murmuring and they were grumping. They were going after Moses. They were trying to figure out what to do. I imagine some of them was saying, if we'll just go this way, maybe we can get back to Egypt before they realize we left with this group. There might have been all kinds of things going. But Moses was telling them to stand still. Not only stand still, though, in the body, but stand still in the mind and in the heart. When you steadfast your faith, now think about that. James tells us not to waver in our faith. Well, I don't know. I think God can. I've seen Him do this, but I don't know about that. Stand still in your faith even. That God is still God. He still can. If He led me by cloud and led me by fire and He protects me by fire, God can get me through this. That Red Sea is nothing to God. You ever thought about that? That's nothing to God. The problem was that they were looking back instead of asking God how to go forward. How to get through. And Moses went to God and he fell down before God and he asked God these things and God gave him the answer. So he tells the people, he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You ever realize Jesus in the New Testament, the disciples could not cast out the demon that was in the boy. And whenever Jesus did it, they kind of said, Lord, we've never seen it on that. How come we couldn't have done that? He said, this type only go forth by much what? Prayer and fasting. Who's stronger than you and I? God is. Every day, every hour, every moment, every second of the, God is stronger every time than you and I. And so he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He's going to be the one who delivers. As I said this morning, He is the one to whom glory is belonging to. Glory to God. He said, which He shall shew you today. You know, God wants to show us stuff. Wants to show us a lot of stuff. We don't stand still long enough to see anything sometimes. You ever thought about it? Trying to figure out the next best way to do something. How do you do this? How do you do that? There's got to be a better way. Someone says there's got to be a way to build a better mouse trap. I want to ask you a question. Have they ever built a better mouse trap? They've built different ones, but they've never built a better one. I like the old-fashioned mouse trap. The only thing is I don't like messing with them when they get the mouse on them. And I don't like loading them either because it gets my finger. Amen. The best way to load a mouse trap is with peanut butter. I mean to tell you, got to get something on there they want. But anyways, they were trying to figure out something better than what God had done. 10 plagues in the land of Egypt. Freedom's brought. God's leading them by cloud. God's leading them by fire. God's protecting them. And then they get to the Red Sea. The Red Sea's nothing for God. It's just another one of those things where God says, let me show you what I can do. Let me show you what your faith and your trust in me will accomplish. Let me show you how I can do all things. You just got to trust in me to do them. So he said, I'll show you this day the Egyptians who you see today. You shall see them no more forever. Or shall see them again no more forever. I wish tonight that I could say that we've never seen the Egyptians. I'm afraid though tonight that in some ways we have seen the Egyptians, because see, we keep getting afraid of things we have no business being afraid of. And if we would stand still long enough to let God have His way and let God do what He wants to do, then church, we would not have any problems, right? I mean, just think about it. Stop, stand still, and let God be God. Let God do what God wants. Again, it's not just in our bodies, but it's in our faith. Let our faith be steadfast, unmovable. Think about it. When we find that in Corinthians, is to be a steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in Christ Jesus. Well, what's steadfast mean? Stand still. Be strong. Don't waver. God's got it under control. The book of Numbers, chapter 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses in verse 1 in the wilderness of Sinai, in the first month of the second year after that they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at His appointed season. In the 14th day of this month at even, ye shall keep keep it in His appointed season, according to all that the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof, shall He keep it. Do it God's way. That's really all this is saying. Simplified up. Do it God's way. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and that they should keep the Passover, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at evening in the wilderness of Sinai, and according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man. They could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, We are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore we are kept back, that we may not offer an offering of the Lord at His appointed season among the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, Stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. And the Lord said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, say, If any man of you or of your presbytery shall be unclean by reason of the dead body or by in a journey afar off, ye shall keep the Passover, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord the 14th day of the second month. At the eve they shall keep it, and eat with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Now I want to just talk to you for a second. What did God do? God realized, did He not? God understood. What did God understand and what did God realize? Their heart. The concern that these men had was that they could not do what they were supposed to do according to the Word of the Lord at the time that God had appointed, because they were already doing what God had told them to do, because they were defiled by a dead body. They were separated until the time of their cleansing. And God said, Listen, you can't come in. You can't do these things. If you've been defiled by a touching of a dead body or whatever else it was, you cannot approach the Lord. You can't do these things. You can't come among the people. And they come to Moses and said to Moses, What are we going to do? They're frantic. Do you think about it for a second? They're concerned. They're worried. Their heart's troubled. But yet this, they wanted to do what was right, but they couldn't. And Moses told them to what? Stand still. Calm down. Let's see what God has to say about it. What did God say? Because He understood their heart, He knew their desire, you can go ahead and do it on the 14th day of the second month. I hadn't forgotten you. I'm not pushing you aside. You're being obedient to me, so I'm going to do this. Because of your obedience, I'm going to open the door for you. I'm going to put a place in there for you. Don't try to make God do something, but stand still long enough to see what God will do. And listen to me, God has always, always, always been faithful. But Moses told him to stand still. Quit being so frantic. Quit worrying about it. Just calm down. Let's see what God has to say about this. We'll do this on the 14th day of the second month for you. Think about it for a moment this morning. Joshua chapter 3, verse 8. By the way, there's seven passages of Scripture where the word stand still is found. Seven is God's complete number. And you and I ought to be rejoicing in that, right? I mean, after all, God says, I've got it. Just stand still. I've got it. Just stand still. That's the way God is. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua verse 1. Well, again, there's not a whole lot here, but not a lot of verses here, but we'll read them through there so you get the gist in the background. And Joshua arose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and all his children of Israel, and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest and the Levite, the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed through or passed this way thereof hitherfore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests to bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the river Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Now we understand this, and think about this. When they were there, the things that were to happen there, what do we know about the river Jordan? What happened at the river Jordan? That happened at the Red Sea. It parted. Can I ask you a question, church? How hard is it to part water that's not moving? I mean, that's pretty difficult on one level, is it not? How hard is it to part water that is moving? That's a whole other ball game. God steps it up a level. God does something different. And you and I tonight need to understand something. That when God tells us to stand still, there is a reason for it. There's a purpose and a plan. If you go down there, and it said in verse 14, and it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, as they that bear the ark were it come unto Jordan, the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. It's not just moving water, it's flooded moving water. That the waters which came from above stood and rose up a heap very far from the city of Adam, or from the city Adam, that is beside Zertan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even at the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now let me ask you a question. Why did he say stand still when you got there? Well, Brother Ernie, they didn't want to get too far ahead of the people. You know what I think? And I may be wrong in this, but that's one reason. But another reason is to see their faith. You ever thought about that? How hard would it have been to stand still in flooded, moving water? I'll get washed away, sure as I know it, if I stand still. But instead, what did they do? They did exactly that. When they got their feet to the brim of the water. They didn't have to go out waist deep. They didn't have to go out head deep or shoulder. They just had to go out. They had to take the faith to go out. And when they got there, they had to stop and stand still so that God could do the work.
Amen.
Can I tell you something else? In doing what was done, the priest did not get credit. God did. Now think about that. How many times does God do something and somebody else gets the credit for it? Just like I was saying, what man won't do, God will. You think? We don't do quick tests. And we don't test people who don't have symptoms. The doctor comes in and says, we'll do a quick test and we'll test both of you. Go to church. God will do what people won't do. God understands how, and listen to me, it was not, now I'm not saying this tonight, God was not just going, well, let me just, God saw your heart. God sees our hearts. Remember when I said this morning that God said, delight thyself in the Lord and He shall give thee the desires of your heart? The desires of your heart are different when you're in God. They're no longer things of the flesh and things of the world. They're the things of God. The desire of our heart, like I said last week on Sunday morning, my desire that I have, I want to be the best man of God that I could be. And I can't remember just how I put it out there. But I want to be a man for my a man of God. I want to be a man of God for my family. There's things that I want. But I want to eventually, and the third one was, retire without and be a full-time pastor without being a burden to the church. I want to do that. Those are things that I want to accomplish. By the help of God's grace, and I tell people all the time that I can't tell you for sure, but if God will allow sometime in the next 5 to 9 years, that's my goal. And if I'll work towards doing what God would have me to do, I think it's His goal. But I can't guarantee nothing. Only God knows. But if you don't start believing and trying to do something for God, where will you end up, church? Where will you be? We got to start being... I think sometimes we stand still because we just don't know. Or we stand still because we've given up. But God is telling us to stand still in faith. To stand still and believe. To stand still and trust. To stand still and see. To stand still and wait. I don't know for sure what God wants out of my life as far as the next 30 years, because I can't see that far. But God's got a plan. He just wants me to be still in my faith and believe and follow Him. Let Him lead me by day. Let Him lead me by night. And don't worry about behind.
Amen.
Spoke with a gentleman this week and I was telling him things and I said, here's what you need to do. I was giving him all kinds of godly advice and he kept thinking about what had or what was. And I said, listen to me. I said, that was yesterday. That's the past. Leave it alone. Don't worry about it no more. Do what you got to do today for God. Be what you got to be today for God. Don't worry about what was. Understand that God knows what's already happened. He's just waiting to see what you'll do today. And that's what we've got to do. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all righteousness, righteous acts of the Lord which ye did to you and to your fathers, reminding them that God had already done many things. And if they say thus, tarry until we come, then we will stand still in our place and will not go unto them. This is where Jonathan was going up to fight the enemies. Job tells us. He says, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Have you ever thought about standing still just to look around and see what God's been doing? That we didn't even see Him doing because we've been too busy doing our own things. Been too busy being our own people. And we don't stand still long enough to see that God's been doing so many things in so many ways, in so many places, in so many lives. And instead of doing what we need to do, we are doing, according to God, we are doing what we want to do. And this is the last place that is found. And by the way, probably in this aspect, When we think about where this is found last, stand still is found last, it's probably one of the most important spots you could look at in your Scriptures, and yet find that in the newer translations they're taking this passage out because they don't think it fits there. But I'm going to tell you something, it absolutely fits there. And they not took this verse out, but the one following it, excuse me, or the one that preceded it. And we got to look at all of it. This is the conversion of the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8. Just simply put it this way. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south, and unto the way that goeth down to Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. And that's verse 26. Philip's on his way going where the Lord has told him to go. In verse 29, it said, Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself unto this chariot. It's the Ethiopian's chariot. And he went along there. In verse 30, he said, And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I accept some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the Scripture he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened not his mouth. And humiliation and his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest thou the prophet this, of himself or of some other? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same Scripture and preached to him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? This is the verse they've removed, but ought to be there. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now listen to me, church. When you make a profession like that, there's something that happens. The Bible says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one soul that cometh to repentance than over 99 just that needeth not. What does that mean? Just ask yourself the question. What happens in heaven? Do you think there's a lot of moving around in heaven? Do you think, I mean, just think about this. The angels are before the throne of God, worshiping day and night. Where are the saints? The Bible says the saints of God are there worshiping. The saints of God, they're under the altars crying out, how long, O Lord? We're doing stuff. But at that time, when one soul comes to repentance, they stand still and worship and rejoice. You ever thought about that? Well, Brother Ernie, can you prove it? Nope, I can't. But I'll tell you what, the Bible says there's more rejoicing in heaven. So they got to stop doing whatever else they're doing and start rejoicing because the soul's been saved. And they don't look down here at me and they don't look down here at you and say, Oh, you've done such a great job doing that, such a great job doing that. I can't believe you led that one. No, they rejoice in that God is saving souls. But they take notice that a lost soul was saved. How would it be that God's got His book up there and here's the book of salvation and all of a sudden God picks up the pen? And wrote your name down. And the angels started rejoicing. The Bible says that you and I have got a name that no man knoweth but God. A new name. And one day we'll have that new name. We'll know what it is. I don't know about you. It took me long enough to learn mine, right? It took me longer to learn yours. But one day you'll have a name that you've had for all your life and didn't even realize it. That is all your salvation life. And it'll fit you like a glove. In verse 38... And he commanded the chariot to stand still. Why did the chariot have to stop? Because God is doing a work. God's got it all under control. God understood the heart of the eunuch when he was back here worshiping, but didn't know what Didn't know exactly how. But he believed there was a God somewheres. And he had the Scriptures and he believed those Scriptures. He just didn't understand everything. And when Philip opened up and explained to him Jesus, he must have been rejoicing. I finally can see. And he said, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Remember, what does it say? The Bible says, whosoever believeth on Him shall have eternal life. But Jesus said, if thou confess me not before men, I'll confess you not before my Father and His angels. What did the eunuch say? Look at it carefully. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The angels rejoice. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And then they were come up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Can I tell you something else, church? You think about this. How many times have we ever read that passage of Scripture and did not even realize what had happened, and that what had happened had no influence on the eunuch to scare him, to deter him, or to change him as far as from what he had just done? The Bible says as soon as they were come up out of the water, the chariot's still standing still, but they go down and they're baptized. As soon as they come up out of the water, Philip is called away by the Spirit of God. He's gone. The eunuch didn't look around and say, oh no, what am I going to do? Where's Philip? He said that he got in the chariot and he took off rejoicing. I believe he's on his way to tell somebody. How many times did God do something wonderful, and when He done it, people went and told somebody? Do you know what God did? Do you know what happened to me today? Do you think Peter had a testimony when he said, you know what, I got out of prison? Well, who let you out? Nobody led me out. The angel led me out. And when he led me out, I just went right through the bars. Well, how in the world did that happen? I don't know, but here I am. Church, listen to me. You want to get somebody's attention? Stand still in the Lord. Let Him do what He wants to do. And then go tell somebody what He done. You'll get their attention. I promise you. This lost and dying world needs some people who believe to tell them what God has done. What God is doing. We'll say, Brother Ernie, well, what is God doing? I don't see Him doing nothing. The Bible says you're blind and cannot see afar off. Because you're not looking for what God is doing. You're looking for what people are doing. You're looking for sights instead of faith. Standing still is believing that God will, God can, God shall. God is and God does. We got to put our faith in what we know God wants, what God will do, and then act accordingly, even if we don't see what we think we ought to see before we do what we think we're going to do. I mean, after all, they went down to the River Jordan, they stepped off the brim of the water, and they had to get out in the water and stop in the water before the water split. Sometimes you got to get your feet wet. Sister Barbara's talked about that song, Wade Out in the Water, you know. Wade a little deeper in the water. Got to get her feet wet. Go ahead and stand with us tonight. Father, this evening we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, dear God, for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. Thank you, Father, tonight for all that thou hast done for us this day and the days before, and Lord, whatever you have planned for us in the future. Dear God, we ask you tonight that you would just lead us, guide us, and direct us, and draw us close. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be that which we need to be for thy name's sake. And Lord, I pray tonight, help us to be purposed in our hearts to follow you wholly, truly, and surely. And Lord, I pray, make us what we need to be. Father, we thank you again. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.